Translation of Prabhupada, Bhashya Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord learned all the Vedas with their different branches simply by hearing them once from his teacher, Sandipani Muni, whom he rewarded by bringing back his dead son from the region of Yamaloka. Purport. No one but the Supreme Lord can become well-versed in all the branches of the Vedic wisdom simply by hearing once from his teacher. Nor can anyone bring a dead body back to life after the soul has already gone to the region of Yamaraj. But Lord Krishna ventured to the planet of Yamaloka and found the dead son of his teacher and brought him back to his father as a reward for the instructions received. The Lord is constitutionally well versed in all the Vedas, and yet to teach by example that everyone must go to learn the Vedas from an authorized teacher and must satisfy the teacher by service and reward, he himself adopted this system. The Lord offered his services to his teacher, Sandipani Muni, and the Muni, knowing the power of the Lord, asked something which was impossible to be done by anyone else. The teacher asked that his beloved son, who had died, be brought back to him, and the Lord fulfilled the request. The Lord is not, therefore, an ingrate to anyone who renders him some sort of service. The devotees of the Lord, who always engage in his loving service, are never to be disappointed in the progressive march of devotional service. Shapapad ki jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Adita Shri Vishaka Vitansha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. So my humble obeisances to all the devotees assembled here and all those who are listening online. I seek all your blessings so that I can hopefully say some useful things about today's beautiful verse. Quickly repeat the translation, just a reminder. The Lord learned all the Vedas with their different branches simply by hearing them once from his teacher, Sandipani Muni, whom he rewarded by bringing back his dead son from the region of Yamaloka. So just some context first where we are. We are in the third chapter. So at the end of the first chapter, Uddhava had asked him to glorify, at the end of that chapter, he asked him to glorify Lord Krishna. And the whole of chapter 2 and chapter 3 is glorification of Lord Krishna by Uddhava. So in chapter 2, Uddhava described the attractive beauty of the Lord. His beauty even astonishes Lord Vishnu, it was said. His form His form is the ornament for all ornaments. So like when we put ornaments, it decorates our body. But actually, the Krishna's body is actually decorating the ornaments like that. Then Uddhava also spoke about Krishna's bewildering activities, his birth, how he's obviously he's unborn, yet he takes birth. His fearing of Krishna, although he's a supreme lord and all-powerful. Fleeing from Mathura out of fear. And then consulting Uddhava in advice, although he was he's completely in full knowledge. He's asking for advice from Uddhava. Then it is described the pastimes in Raja, herding the cows, playing with the cowherd boys, killing the demons, lifting Govardhan Hill, performing the Rasa dance. All that was described. Now in chapter 3, Krishna's pastimes outside Vrindavan, so Mathura and Dwaraka, will be described. So the first verse yesterday described the killing of Kamsa. So we had a very, very nice class from His Grace Radha Mohan Prabhu, very animated, bringing all his acting skills and all that. So compared to that, it's going to be a pretty dull class today. So after killing Kamsa, Lord Krishna, he released Ugrasen from the jail and also his parents, Vasudev and Devaki, from the prison. Next, Vasudev arranged through the Kulguru, their priest, who was the priest of the Yadus? Sorry? Gargamuni, exactly. So Gargamuni, he performed the Upanayan Samskar for Krishna and Balaram. And then after that, Lord Krishna tells Nanda Maharaj and all the people who had come from Vraj that now you can go back to Vraj. But you should come with us, they're saying. But no, I'm going to stay here for a few little more time to satisfy people in Mathura, and then I'll come. So Nanda Maharaj goes back, and as he is arriving, it is said that Yashoda Mata opens the door quickly and says, "Welcome back, where is Krishna, where is Balaram?" "Oh, they're not here." Actually, so don't joke. You know, it's a cruel joke. No, I'm waiting for so long. Where are they? You must have hid them somewhere. And Nanda Maharaj says, "No, they're not here. They're really back there." And she gets really upset. And she says, "How could you come here without them?" She says, when Lord Ram had to go to the forest, Dashrath was so heartbroken that he gave up his life. How come you are alive? You've left your sons back there." And she gets really, really emotional like this. And then Nanda Maharaj says that actually he said that he's going to come. He wanted to spend some time in Mathura, and he said he's going to come here. "I am more heartbroken than you are. But the only reason I'm alive is because he said I'm going to come back. And if I give up my life because of his separation, and you give up your life because of his separation, who's going to look after him when he comes here? So that is why I'm alive." So just a bit of a side story there. So today's verse speaks about education now. So Krishna and Balaram, they're in Mathura, and they want to go for education. So the question here is, Gargamuni has just performed this, the Upanayan, other sanskaras for them. He is the Kulguru. He is very, very qualified. Why not stay there and take shiksha from him? Right? He's there. He's very much qualified. They went to, where did they go? Avantipura, which is, what's the current name of Avantipura? Ujjain, which is in Madhya Pradesh. And Mathura is in Uttar Pradesh. So this distance between the two towns, 725 kilometers. No flights in those days. No, probably no trains either. How come so far away? Any ideas? Anybody? So it's explained that Krishna and Balaram having a discussion about, okay, now we should take formal education. And did somebody raise their hand here? Oh, sorry, please. Did somebody raise their hand there? No? Okay. So he says, they're saying that, look, this Garga Muni knows us, our reality. So he will not be able to give us siksha as a proper teacher because he knows our opulence. He knows we are the supreme lords. And also people around Mathura know of our opulences. So it will be very difficult for anybody to actually genuinely become a teacher for us. So we need to go far away from us and find somebody who doesn't know too much about us, and then that person can give us proper siksha. And this is why they went to Avatipur, which is far away, and Sandipani Muni, very, very qualified, but he didn't know so much about their opulence, so he was able to actually treat them as students properly and give them siksha. Although it said that by the end he realized that these are not ordinary persons. These are very, very exalted personalities, and that's why he asked for the reward, for Dakshina that he did, which we'll come to in a minute. So, in this verse, there's Panchajana. Panchajana, and Prabhupada, he actually translates it as the region. What does he say? Here, one second. Panchajana, this is the last one, yeah. The region of the departed souls. So Panchajana, I was looking at the reference, not sure how, obviously Panchajana could mean different things. Panchajana, if you look at the Google, it said in the Rig Veda, it's explained, Panchajana means five people, literally. Pancha, five, Jana, people. And it refers to, it's a common name given to like five ancient tribes, five ancient Kshatriya tribes. And Panchajana we know about as the Panchajana as a demon in the river in the lake in the sea rather actually with the conch shell, but here Prabhupada translates it as a region of where the departed souls go, which I thought was interesting. Purport, we'll just go take some points from the purport. Prabhupada says, no one but the Supreme Lord can become well-versed in all the branches of Vedic wisdom simply by hearing once from the teacher. So what's the term when somebody hears once and remembers forever? What's the Sanskrit term for that? Shrutidhara, exactly. Shrutidhara in English is retentive memory. So there's a famous pastime in the Chaitanya, in the CC, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself displays Shrutidhara quality. Anybody know which pastime that was? Louder? Sarvabhaumacharya? Keshav Kashmiri, more like that, because Keshav Kashmiri, as we know, he's there, he's the Digvijay, he's conquered all the regions in India, then he comes finally to Navadvip, and he wants to challenge. He's heard about Nimai, and he wants to challenge him. But Nimai, in his humility, says, you know, well, how can I, you know, be any competition to you? Why did you, instead of having a competition, just tell us something? What do you want to hear? Tell us, maybe you can glorify the Ganga. So on the spot, the Keshav Kashmiri, he compiled 100 amazing verses glorifying the Ganga. And then he says, so did you like it? He says, yes, but could you please explain this particular one? And he quotes this verse, and number 64, and he actually recites that verse. So Keshav Kashmiri is astonished. He says, I've recited all this, and how come you can remember this verbatim, this verse? Because it was not something from the Shastra, I just made it up. And he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, interestingly, he says, you know, if somebody can become a Shrutidhara by the mercy of Saraswati, then somebody can also become, somebody can become a great poet like you by the mercy of Saraswati, then somebody can also become a Shrutidhara like me, like that. So this is where he showed. And then he said, okay, that verse, he recited, and he says, okay, can you tell us which are the five gunas and a few doshas? Keshav Kashmiri says, doshas? There is no dosha means a fault. How can there be any fault in my poetry? There is no fault in my poetry. You are an ordinary Sanskrit grammar teacher. What do you know about poetry? So he says, I'm sorry, but you know. Then he describes the good qualities first. Then he gives some faults. which were generally there, some technical faults. But one interesting fault that we mentioned was that in that particular verse, there's a term used, Bhavani Bhartur. So that is describing, so it says Bhavani. Bhavani actually means the wife of Shiva. Bhava is Shiva, Bhavani means wife of Shiva. And Bhartur means husband. So when you look at it, it reads like the husband of the wife of Shiva, which means maybe she has some other husband. So that's like a very apparent fault. So Keshan Kashmiri, of course, he gets defeated and gets very, very upset. We know the rest of the story. So, yeah. Prabhupada mentions also, like about Shruti there, he says in India, in the previous times, there were many, many very, very qualified brahmanas who also were Shruti Dars. And he mentions this particular episode where this person is being insulted by a British person. This was during the British Raj. And this person was very badly insulted. And he took him to court. And they said, have you got any witnesses? He says, yes, there's Brahmana who was standing by when this was happening. So they called the Brahmana to the stand and the court. And then the judge asked him something in English. And somebody said, no, but he doesn't speak English. So the judge says, if he doesn't speak English, how can he be witness of what was being said by the Englishman? He says, yeah, but he's a Shruti there. So you ask him. And then the judge asked him, and this person didn't know a word of English, but he repeated all the bad words and all the swear words that the Englishman had said verbatim. That, because it was in his memory like that. So, Shruti there. I wish I was Shruti there. I find it so difficult to memorize verses and things. So, Prabhupada says, only the Supreme Lord is well versed in the branches of Vedas. Vedas, of course, as we know, are vast. You've got the original Veda first, which is then divided by Vyasadeva into four, Rig Veda, Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, and Sama Veda. And then it comes down to the corollaries. So you've got the Mahabharata, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gonita Ki Jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Amazing outfit today, aren't they? Amazing, really. Brilliant. So, yeah, then you've got Mahabharatas, then you've got the Puranas, and then you've got the Upanishads. Then all of that, Vyasadeva condensed into the Vedanta Sutra, and then finally we have the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is the Bhagavatam. So it's vast, vast, vast. But Lord Krishna, of course, he became well versed by hearing once. But actually, he was already, Krishna is, of course, you know, Satyatananda, so he knows, he's completely fully aware of the Vedas before. A Veda is actually emanated from him anyway. So there is no surprise that he learned them so quickly. In the purport, Prabhupada says, this nice, one sentence. He says, the Lord is constitutionally well-versed in all the Vedas, and yet to teach by example that everyone must go to learn the Vedas from an authorized teacher and must satisfy the teacher by service and reward. He himself adopted this system. I found this one sentence, it is so full of so much sort of different things that he gives. Constitutionally well-versed, so he talks about Krishna, how he's already in the know. To teach by example, to learn the Vedas by approaching a spiritual master, and then satisfy him by giving him service, and then at the end to also reward him, dakshina. So all these, we'll try and take these things one by one. So constitutionally well-versed. Verse in Bhagavad Gita talks about the Lord being well-versed in the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedas. Or he knows the Vedas. Anybody know which verse? 15:15, yeah? Vedesha sarve ahameva vedya. So sarvasya chaham ridisannivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha vedesha sarve ahameva vedyo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. So vedesha, I am to be known by all the Vedas. Vedanta krit, I am the one who I wrote the Veda. I created the Vedas. Vedavit. Vedanta, I wrote the Vedanta. I compiled the Vedanta, and Vedavid, I know the Vedas. So that's that one. And then to satisfy the teacher by giving service. Again, verse from Bhagavad Gita talks about approaching a spiritual master. 434, tadvadi paripatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanyas tatvadashan. So this is, again, so in that one sentence, all these facts are packed in. So we need to approach a spiritual master, and the spiritual master, by his mercy, he reveals the knowledge. The knowledge is within everyone's heart. It's not like the material knowledge we need to we have to assimilate it from external sources. But the Vedic knowledge is explained that it's within the heart. It just needs to be uncovered, revealed. So we know, for example, Lord Brahma himself, when he was first bewildered on the top of that lotus flower, knowledge was revealed within his heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Other examples of knowledge revealed? Anybody? Other examples of knowledge revealed like that? I was thinking about Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, after his penances, severe penances and everything, when the Lord comes in front of him, he's only a little boy, so he doesn't know how to glorify the Lord. So he's tongue-tied, doesn't know what to say. And what does the Lord do? He touches his head with the conch shell. And as soon as that does, all the knowledge is revealed. And he comes out with beautiful, amazing verses glorifying the Lord. Story that I thought, sorry? Kola Vachasridhar, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving him the blessing that all the knowledge is revealed within his heart, absolutely. There's a beautiful story in the beginning of Mahabharata, which talks about sage Daumya and his disciple Aruni. So Aruni, one time, there were, of course, in those days, the disciples would live with the sage in the same place. And they were in a field, a paddy field. And at one point, there was a breach. You know, they used to have a low clay wall around the paddy field so that the flood water doesn't get into the field and ruin the crops. Is it that way or maybe the other way around where the water doesn't escape? Either way. So because rice needs water to grow. If that water, rice cannot grow. Water performs two things, actually. It helps rice to grow, and also weeds can't grow in water, so weeds stay away like that. So one time, they heard that in a faraway farm within their property, the wall was breached and the water was escaping or something like that. So the Guru Maharaj says, Daumya says to Aruni, can you go and see, fix it? And this was in the morning. So Aruni goes there. And Aruni tries to fix this, but it was flooding and a lot of rain and everything. And whatever he did to try and fix it, it just kept breaking. In the end, he decided the only way to stop the damage was, whatever the gap was, he just lay across himself and blocked the water. So that way, the water remained. So late in the evening, they all realized that Aruni hasn't come back. So then the guru and the disciples, they all went and searched for him. And Aruni, where are you? So they hear the voice from deep somewhere down there. I'm here. And they go down and they see him. And he's actually used his own body to save the crops. So sage Daumya was very, very pleased with him. And he said that I bless you, that all the knowledge of the entire Vedas will be revealed to you, so you will know all the meanings. So this way, just by that one incident, he was able to get that knowledge. In the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.2.3 says, yasya deva para bhaktir yatha deva tatha guru tasya ise katita hirtha pakashante mahatmana. Only unto those souls who have implicit faith both in the Lord and the spiritual master, who is his manifestation, and non-different from him, are the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So this is one time in the fifth canto story of Bharat Maharaj. When Bharat Maharaj, it takes birth as Jada Bharata. And then Of course, he's there, as we know the story, carrying the palanquin for the king, King Rahugan. And because he was trying to avoid the ants, the palki is going up and down, Rahugana gets upset with him. And when Jadabharat speaks, Rahugana realizes that this is a very, very realized soul. And he asks him various things. And one thing he's asking him is, how can one realize the absolute truth? That's when Rahugana speaks this beautiful verse. And our Shruti Prabhu used to love this verse. He quoted this quite often. Rahugananta tapasana yati na chejaya nirvaparad grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryer vina mahat padarajobhishekam. Padarajobhishekam. He says that unless one has the opportunity, padaraja means dust of the lotus feet, bishek, abhishek, which means covering your whole body. So unless one has the opportunity to cover one's whole body with a dust emanating from a great devotee, he cannot realize the absolute truth. He says the absolute truth cannot be realized by observing brahmacharya, celibacy, or by following the household rules properly, by leaving home for home and then taking sannyas, all those things, or even undergoing severe austerities like submerging one's body in cold water in the winter, or surrounding oneself in fire under the scorching heat of the sun. All those things they can do, people can do, but actually the knowledge, the absolute truth is revealed only by the mercy of a devotee. This is what Jadabharat told Rahugana. My Guru Maharaj used to speak about this often, and he used to use nice analogies about knowledge being covered. So he says, it's like this light bulb. If there was a single light bulb in the room and somebody painted it black with paint, you could not get light. But then if somebody mercifully removes the covering, the light comes through. Similarly, in the heart, our knowledge is covered like that. And then he used to also give the other analogy about one has to be connected to the powerhouse to get the power. So for us to be getting the knowledge of the Vedas, which is coming from Krishna, we have to be connected to Krishna. And the via medium is a spiritual master. That's our connection. So that's the power source. And they gave the example also of this light switch. For example, when the switch is off, the circuit's like this. But when the switch is on, it's connected. And that's when you get the current going through. So this way, we just need to have our connection with the spiritual master and through him, the Lord, and then we get knowledge. Two processes of knowledge, attaining knowledge: ascending and descending. Ascending is in Sanskrit, what's it called? Aroha. Aroha Pantha. And descending, Avaroha Pantha. And our method is? Avaroha Pantha, exactly. So Avaroha is descending and Aroha is ascending. What is the fault? Why is Aroha not preferred by us? Exactly. Because our senses are faulty, and by whatever we try. So Aroha Pantha means that I will understand everything by all my strength, by all my intelligence, I will philosophize, I will do whatever. I don't need anybody else. You know, I will do everything I can to understand God myself. I don't need scriptures or gurus. So that is faulty because our senses are faulty and we will not get to the right place. But with the Avaroha, we're taking it from Parampara, and this way it is the perfection of knowledge. So Lord Krishna and Balaram, apart from the learning all the Vedas and everything, they also learned 64 different arts in 64 days. There's a list in the 10th canto, chapter 45, text 34 and 34 to 36. The whole list, Prabhupada's disciples who translated those verses, because that was after Prabhupada left. They've actually done a lot of research and given us a lot of this. And who's been to Ujjain? I know Prabhuji used to live there, of course. You've been to Ujjain. And you've been to Sandipani Muni's ashram, of course. So I'm not sure whether it's a new thing, because I've been there a few times, and this time when I went in October, I noticed that they've got a new, not a diorama. Diorama would be where there'll be sort of models, but actually they've got beautiful big paintings for all these 64 arts. So you can walk and you can see all these paintings, and each one is depicted there very nicely. So then, time's running out. The verse is saying, Uddhava is saying that he is teaching by example. So, of course, achar and prachar, we have to behave. Through our behavior, we can teach, we can prachar. But if our behavior is not right, then how are people going to follow? We have to have our achar first. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself appeared in this world to teach us by example, isn't it? He did this. He didn't come as a Supreme Lord. He came as a devotee to teach us how to develop love of Krishna by his example. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Adi Lila chapter 3, text 13 and 14, he explains this. He says, Yatheshta vihari Krishna kare antardan. Antardan kari mane kare anu kare anuman. Chir kale nahi kare prema bhakti dan. Bhakti vina jagatare nahi avastan. So he says, Lord Krishna, so Yatheshta vihari, after enjoying for long time, Krishna antardan, he then disappeared from this world. Antardan kare mane anuman. After disappearing, then he's thinking to himself that for a long, long time, I haven't given the love of my love. I haven't taught how to develop love for me to anybody. So how will anybody come back to me? Because by Vaidhi Bhakti, we go to Vaikuntha Dham. We cannot go to Golok. We can only go to Golok by developing love for Krishna. So then he says, I haven't given this, so this is why. Then he says, Chir kale nahi kare jagatare. So he says, Chir kale nahi kare, I haven't given. Bhakti vina, so without love of Godhead, jagatare nahi avasthan. That means the existence, material existence is useless without developing love for the Lord. So, yeah, a few more things I could have said, but time is already 8:30. So we'll just... cover Guru Dakshina. So, of course, the Dakshina, Sandipani Muni asked, was completely out of the ordinary. To bring back my dead son. We don't know how long ago he was dead. So imagine if somebody is dead, the body is finished a long time ago. Maybe the subtle body is still there somewhere. But Krishna, only Krishna can do that. He can go and bring not only the subtle body, but also his original body back. So that was amazing. So there's another example of amazing dakshina, that very unusual dakshina that was asked and was given. Anybody think of a very, very Mahabharata pastime? Yes. Ekalavya. Ekalavya, when he wanted to take instructions of martial arts from Dronacharya. Because he wasn't a Kshatriya, Dronacharya refused to give him. But he was so determined that he actually made a clay model of Dronacharya. And by meditating on him, apparently he learned all the arts so well that he was better than Arjuna in military arts. So when Dronacharya heard about this, he didn't want that to happen, of course. So he went there and asked for it. What did he ask for? His right thumb. And look at this. Eklavya spent years, so much effort, trying to learn all this vidya, you know, by the indirect way. Yet, when his guru asked for the dakshina, which is taking away everything that he's learned, because without the right thumb, he can't use the bow and arrow, he gave it. Straight away, he cut his thumb and gave it to his guru. So this is the beauty of Shastra and examples that we get. So I will stop here. Thank you so much for your patience. Any comments, quick comments, any corrections, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. You're saying about the behavior of a person, that how it has an impact. So I was wondering, what's more important, hearing from a spiritual master or learning from his behavior?
Good question. Question is, in case anybody didn't hear it. What is more important, hearing from the spiritual master or following his behavior? Which is more important? I would say equally. Well, both is equally important. You, of course, we need to hear from the guru to learn from him, and by his achar, by his behavior, we can learn how to behave. With the knowledge, we just have the knowledge, don't have the behavior. It's not going to work. So I think both is equally important. But thank you for the question. Anybody else? Any other angle to this? Yes, Prabhu. Microphone over here, please.
If someone hears but they don't behave, they can't digest what they've heard. So therefore, the importance of the two.
Yes. So both is good. They go hand in hand, definitely. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
There are two things. One is Anusaran and other is Anukaran.
Yes.
Anusaran is, I think, to copy. Anukaran is to copy. And Anusaran is to follow.
Follow.
So as long as the spiritual master is physically present, and if we observe something in their behavior, we can always go to them and verify whether it's okay for us to implement that.
Yes.
So basically, following is more important than copying.
Yes. Exactly. That's good. Thank you very much for that. Any other questions, any points? In terms of this, the other side of the coin is, of course, because all of us are mentors, or we have some people who look up to us, or we even family members, whatever. So the other side of the coin is that we cannot preach something that we're not practicing, isn't it? So there's this wonderful story. I'll just quickly tell the story about this sage. Actually, this story sometimes is attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, but we're not sure yet. But anyway, the sage is there, and in a village far away, there's a young boy who has a habit, who cannot give up habit of eating sweet things. And his mother knows that this little boy has got a lot of reverence for this particular sage. So she thinks, if I take him to him, and if he tells him, he will listen. So, and they were quite far away. So she walks 3 hours in the sun, in a hot summer, takes the boy to this sage. And when it was her turn to see him, he asked him, what can I do for him? He said, this boy is eating too many sweets. Can you please tell him? So the sage says, come back after 1 month. She didn't know why. Anyway, she went away. After 1 month, again, three hours walking, came there. And the sage, then their turn came again. They sat down. And then the sage says to the boy, you must stop eating sweets for now. The boy says, thank you. Yes, I will. Then afterwards, the mother says to us, why did you send us back and back? You know, we could have told us this from the first time. So the sage says, but the last month when you asked me, I myself was eating a lot of sweets. So I had to give it up first before I could tell this boy to stop eating sweets. So yeah, works both ways. So thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.